Blog Talk Radio.
What's goody?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. You know, staying busy like always. I know it's been a minute since we've been, you know, behind the mic and talking about some of the craziness that's happening around the world. But before we hop into that space, man, tell everybody what's going on in your world, man.
Well, I'm working at Urban, you know what I'm saying? Back room, come see me if y'all need anything. But yeah, man, I'm still going hooping, you know, taking it one day at a time, working on different little projects as far as my clothing line. And I'm also about to work on this training video I'm about to start doing. So, you know, a couple different projects with me, but all in all, I'm chilling, enjoying the married life, and I'm just being staged, you know.
You know what? You know what? I can pretty much say that I'm doing all the same shit. The last part of your stuff, I can't really fully agree with, you know, but to each his own. You know, I could go into it and talk about it more, but, you know, there's still some litigation shit going on, but, you know. I put it to y'all like this. Marriage ain't for everybody.
Thanks.
And I discovered late that if she wasn't, it ain't mine. It ain't for me. But, you know, we got a lot of good topics we're going to talk about today. And, you know, it's just good to be back, man. You know, I went and I checked, you know, the stats from, you know, our previous shows, is just seeing that today alone, people, over 1,800 people were tuning into our old episodes of Surge Radio, which means we are overdue to get back.
Oh, man. That's dope, man. Shout out to y'all. Thank you, guys.
I mean,
appreciate the views.
Yeah, thank you. Got the emails, and, you know, it came in a flurry, and, you know, everybody was kind of, you know, pissed because, you know, we haven't been doing the show. But life happens, man. You know, different things go on, and, you know, we have to kind of readjust and get the material together so y'all can be entertained. You know, other than that, you know, we got a lot of things going on with Surge A Music Group, Surge Radio, all that stuff. So in August, we'll be shooting, you know, our first film project, and you know, it's a big deal, you know, for us. But we wanted to kick off with something that people can enjoy. You know what I mean? You know, so our first film project is going to be a sketch comedy that's going to be featured on our website, and we're looking to also work with like the bigger, you know, production companies as well, as far as getting put on, like, you know, Netflix or Hulu or something like that. So, but the first step is to get it shot, take it to Hollywood, shop it around, and, you know, see who's going to pick it up. But, you know, we're ready to, you know, expand over into the film market as well. So, Surge Radio, you know, we're about to expand with this as well. So y'all can know, you know, we're going to be doing a combination of live episodes along with, you know, podcast format as well, which you can go to the surgeamusicgroup.com and check out any of our podcasts. But, you know what, we haven't set days yet. So between myself and Spades, we're going to work this shit out. So, Spades, sir, share some of the things, you know, with the people from your perspective.
as far as
business.
As far as the radio. Oh, well, you know, I've really been, I don't know, man. I've been lackadaisical on certain things, and, you know, life hits you. But sometimes, you know, it takes that to rearrange your brain and a certain person in your ear to let you know, like, hey, you know, you got multiple things you can do. So I really want to try to help take this to the next level. So I'm all in, man. As far as the radio shows go, I'm here forever, even until I die.
Shouts out to Joel. You know, Jay Rip.
Hey.
I restarted the episodes back at episode one now. So this is Surge Radio Live, episode one. This is how we're going to kick off the format. But I definitely got to say shout out to my man Jay Rip, because, you know, he was, you know, my first co-host. And, you know, Space joined the team, and we was able to grow from there. You know, he passed away, and, you know, we definitely keeping it going and, you know, making sure that we keep it entertaining for you. So we ain't trying to be too serious about it, because all these podcasts, everybody trying to, you know, give life lessons and, you know, talk about somewhat serious shit and try to get y'all in touch with y'all feelings on that Drake shit. You know, me, I try to avoid it. You know? That's because I'm trying to enjoy the show. But you know what? Let's go ahead and dive into these subjects, man, because the talk of the town right now is what's happening in the NBA. You know, everybody, if you don't know, LeBron James is going out west, where the West is already stacked, and he's going to the Lakers. The Lakers have made a lot of moves, but they got their first piece to the puzzle to help bring in other superstars. But, you know, and that was the main headline for about 8 hours until DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Golden State Warriors. So there's a lot of people out there right now talking about that the Warriors – and going too far with the super team stuff. And look, the only thing I can say about that is that the details came out of how they got DeMarcus Cousins. They said they was going to take a shot at it. It's a good thing they did, and they got him. Now, me being a person from Detroit, of course I want to see my Pistons succeed, but I am also a Lakers fan as well. So trust me when I say this, I don't give a fuck about LeBron James being with the Lakers. It won't change how I feel. I still have a 24 jersey in my closet. I'm going to have a 24 jersey when they win their next championship. You know, if they don't win their next championship, I'm going to still have my 24 jersey. I'm a avid supporter of Kobe Bryant. Y'all know that for the years of y'all listening to this show. But, I don't think that fake Warriors took it too far. And here's the reason why. If you are in a position of power, what are you going to do to make sure you stay in that position of power? You are going to take the risks necessary to gain the strength and maintain the strength and the power in whatever position you're in. Can you be mad at them because they play the game better than everybody else? I got to remind people that Steph Curry wasn't always Steph Curry. Klay Thompson wasn't always Klay Thompson. These guys were drafted to the Warriors when the Warriors were being laughed at. They weren't all-stars. No one thought that they were going to be all-stars coming out of the league, coming out of the college basketball. That's something they worked towards. A lot of people don't remember the first 2 years of Steph's career. He was on the bench due to ankle injuries. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people want to, like, you know, say, oh, you know, they're cheating. The NBA's cheating. You know, it's all these all-stars. Draymond wasn't an all-star his first 2 years. This is something these guys work towards, like Michael Jordan in the Bulls. Scottie Pippen, what didn't come out of college being a man? No one knew what the hell to expect from, you know, Steve Kerr. Dennis Rodman was, you know, unpredictable when they got him. They didn't know what to expect. People thought, oh, you know, Kobe Bryant and Shaq was a super team. No, they were two superstars with Phillips. They didn't become a super team until they got Karl Malone, Gary Payton, at the end of their prime. I mean, that's just putting their perspective. So the fact that the Golden State Warriors took a shot at a player that could have got $20-plus million a year, and they got him for the veteran minimum. Can you blame them for taking the shot and this guy jumping at it?
The Pelicans offered him 40.
Yep, they offered him 40, and he didn't take it because he felt like it was something wasn't right. He felt like he couldn't trust him. That's why he didn't take the $40 million. And also the Lakers passed on him too, at the veteran minimum. That's a different story that we could talk about today. But the thing is that he trusted the Golden State Warriors to get him to get him to where he wanted to be. And to him, you know, hats off to him. A championship means more to him than a paycheck, because he knows somewhere down the line he's going to get that money. He know it. He may get his one ring and be done and go to the next team and get $25, $30 million a year. He just wants his ring. Faze, I'm going to shut up and let you take off on this, man, because you're the basketball guy. So go ahead and speak your mind, sir.
All right. So here's the thing, yo. I don't understand why people are so upset about DeMarcus Cousins going to the Golden State Warriors. I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan. I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm a Warriors fan, first and foremost. Let me get that out there. I say this every time we start this show, anytime we talk about basketball. But get back to DeMarcus Cousins. It's a smart move on his end. This nigga done been injured. He had a major injury, okay? That could have been a fucking game changer right there where he wouldn't be playing basketball anymore. So he has another opportunity to get a championship or to get one, and he goes with the Golden State Warriors because they didn't pass up on him. They see something. Why the fuck are y'all mad? I don't understand it. Why are y'all mad that LeBron went west? Y'all thought he wasn't going? His son is about to go to high school. Okay, 4 years. If this nigga is still playing, if his son is that good, which I think he's going to be that good to make it to the NBA, he could possibly play a year with this nigga. That was a family move as well as a business move. This nigga just made $154 million in 4 years. You think he give a fuck what y'all talking about?
And also, get this, though.
I don't understand it.
Get this, though. Is that LeBron has been doing 1 or 2 year deals with Cleveland for how long? Because he didn't trust Dan Gilbert. He didn't trust Dan Gilbert.
Since he first got drafted there, bro.
So when he went to the Lakers, he took a 4 year deal. Sorry, a 3-1 deal. It gives him the option to opt out. So he trusted Magic Johnson more than the person that drafted him. That's crazy. He trusted him, took a 4 year deal at $154 million. I don't know the sum of how much of that is guaranteed, but knowing LeBron James, I'm pretty sure 80 to 90 million of that is guaranteed, if not slightly more.
Guaranteed, bro. Guaranteed. I think that shit was a smart move, man. Shit, now it's time to fucking build. This is where the legacy start right now. Like, if since everybody say, you know, the East was weak and he's dominating the East because it was weak, this is his opportunity to shut motherfuckers up. Like, I'm just ready to see you know, the season started. And there's been hella moves around, like big fella that went to from the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan, he went to the Dallas. He went to the Mavs. Capella could possibly be leaving the Rockets.
Yeah, see, and here's my problem with DeAndre Jordan. If I was any team trying to sign this guy, I wouldn't trust him. Because he committed to the Mavs twice and spurred them twice. So this year, this will probably be the first time he really has to leave because the Clippers were going to trade him anyway. So had he picked up that option and decided to stay with the Clippers, he was going to get traded. And that was rumors that was going around in general. So, hey, It is what it is. What the fuck do we know? We're just a couple of guys that talk shit behind a microphone on a radio show. So, you know what? Y'all can give us a call at 914-205-5518, 914-205-5518. Share your thoughts. But we're getting ready to move on to the next subject. We're going to talk about all things Drake, including Pusha T. Now, I know we've been a little bit behind the eight ball, but we got to play catch up anyway. Here's what I want to say about the Scorpion album. Everything slightly different. The way that Drake was singing on Side B was all the same. You know, it's like Drake has like this one. What? I don't know. It's hard to describe it. You know, because in hip hop there's cadences and. You know, but in R&B is a melody. So, you know, he has his way of delivering the same thing. And Spence, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm pretty sure you heard Drake album by now. And but it sounds like he's taking the same approach for every song. Like me not giving any lyrics, I just make up some shit. It's like he goes like. To all his songs, same melody. He takes the same approach to all his songs. Just think about it. All the songs has the fucking melody. So it's like a runoff.
I mean, I hope everybody knows this, but I mean, that's Drake for you, like that's classic Drake for you. I'm not really a Drake fan like that, but
look, here's my problem with that. Okay, is that if you're going to attempt to make a R&B album, you better learn how to change up your fucking melody. You better learn how to change your cadence. You know. You cannot sound the same. Drake only has three change-ups, and it's all the same on each and every song. Everybody talking about the song he did with Michael Jackson. I'm like, look, man, it's apparent that anybody with Drake's stature can get access to Michael Jackson vocals, okay? I'm not impressed by the fact that he got Michael Jackson on the album, because had Michael been alive, we don't know if Michael would have did a track with him or not, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
So y'all getting all hyped up off of Drake, you know, having, you know, Michael on the album. No, he had the spirit of Michael on this shit, okay? Not even a spirit. It was an old track, okay? You know, so he gets no kudos from me from that shit, okay? And also, I wish Drake would have sang less. If you're going to have Michael Jackson on your song, what you have to understand is that Michael Jackson was a control artist, which means that if he was on there, he was going to have more than just your hook. He was going to have his verse, his pre-hook as well. No, but Drake had to make Michael the side bitch on the record. So, y'all give him too much credit. Don't get me started on drinking side bitches. You know, but he had to make take that approach and, you know, and be the focal point of the shit. I know it's your album, man, but you still got Michael Jackson on there. You better show some fucking respect, man. Take a back seat to your shitty vocals, man. You know. Well, fuck yeah. What, like, so a next album he gonna have fucking Prince on there? No, that Prince would never do it. No, that Prince would never. Prince was really, really particular about who he did music with. So, but with that being said, he did have some good cuts on side A, maybe one or two songs from side B. Had he condensed this album into maybe like 8 to 10 songs, it could have been a classic.
I was thinking like that. I was thinking like, why did he just do it that way?
See, because
this shit probably was flat way better.
See, I thought he would have learned from More Life. More Life was trash. People thought
that
album was great.
I only had a few songs on there I like.
I'm like, you know, I hear Views and More Life, you know. But also, people don't understand, like, in this LP, like the new album, Scorpion, that he took a step back lyrically. I can tell Quentin ain't writing for him no more because he ain't got no strong punches no more.
Mm.
So I'm like, who writes for you now?
Mm.
Or are you finally writing for yourself because the shit sounds bad? Lyrically,
like
he did not take
nigga.
You know, lyrically he didn't take a step forward. He took a few steps back and it was obvious. He had weak punchlines. I'm used to Drake being a little bit more clever, and I think most of his energy went into Pusha T. Now, you know what? That's a fucking great segue. Damn, I'm impressed with myself. Okay, so let's move on. So let's go to this Pusha T shit, right? Pusha T exposed this man to the point. Look, he exposed him to the point to where Drake had to go in back into the lab and change shit with the album. He couldn't even, from an artist standpoint, I want y'all to understand this. What took Drake so long to respond to Pusha with the fact that he knew he had an album coming out? He thought that he could just say, oh, yeah, you don't want to test me when I'm in album mode. You got tested, and you lost. So you had to go and revise everything. Damn near everything on your album. The very last song on his album, talking about his son and in a relationship with the mom and shit, some cop out bullshit, right? And I'm like, okay, so you went and changed multiple songs, and it sounds like fillers. It's like watching an anime. You know, if anybody that's familiar with animes and shit like that, you know how they put in bullshit filler episodes just to keep you busy into the new episodes, right? So the shit felt like it was filler. Like, why am I listening to this? Why do I continue to keep listening? Okay, next song. See, Spotify ain't gonna tell you how many songs they got skipped through or how many times they got skipped through. They're just gonna say, oh man, he broke the record. 170 million streams. In the grand scheme of things, how many of those bitches were skipped? I mean, how many times was it skipped? And most of those were free streams. See, the new way the industry works, as far as like, if you get like over 1,500 streams, that counts as a unit sold. If you get, and that's paid units. So that's paid units where it is, kind of dumb it down a little bit, is that if a person with a paid subscription of Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, if they get 1,500 people to listen to the album that has a paid subscription, that counts as a unit sold. A unit is 1,000. So if they get 1,500 streams, that's one unit sold. So I'm not saying what he did wasn't impressive. 10 million streams in an hour, 170 million streams since then, and still growing. I'm not saying it's not impressive, but they're not talking about the skit, talking about how the other stuff figuring into that as well. For the unpaid subscribers, they doubled that amount. So it's over 3,000 streams required for them to get a full unit. A lot of people don't understand that. That's how the new industry works. That's why nobody cares about CDs anymore. Best Buy just discontinued selling CDs in their stores. So at the end of the day, industry is changing. It ain't the same no more. The only thing that's consistent about the industry is Black China dating little boys. That's the only thing that's consistent.
Again.
Man, she look, man. She the queen of finesse, man, and statutory.
Right. Right. She ain't got away with a lot of shit, bro.
Oh man. But you know what, Thoria, Adonai, whatever the fuck he's called, out. When he put that diss record out, he made me a believer. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, it's about to be a surgical summer because this motherfucker put out everything about this son he's been hiding. It's crazy, bro. I need y'all people who claim to be hip-hop heads and hip-hop fans and stuff, stop saying that Pusha T is irrelevant. Stop with the bullshit. Because Pusha T is far from irrelevant. Every time that man drop, y'all listen to what he said. Because if that wasn't the case, you would have never known anything about infrared. So let's be perfectly honest about this shit. Don't just write this man off as if he's just some nobody making music. Y'all just being disrespectful, period. Y'all just mad because Drake took an L, and y'all not accustomed to that. Okay, this is not Drake going against Meek Mill.
This ain't Drake. Shot fired.
It's like this. Like, real talk, it's not even Drake going against Joe Budden. Because all he had to do was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to throw a shot, I'm going to keep it, you know. And that's not the case. You cannot ignore somebody of that caliber. You cannot ignore somebody of, you know, Pusha T's caliber. And Pusha T, you sock you, he goes sock you. That's it. You just got to take that L if you ain't got the lyrics to match up. And that's what it comes down to. So Drake got manhandled. Y'all want to keep being fans, bro, that's great. But y'all got to remember that he did take this L. Period. So let me shut up. Spades, share some of your thoughts, man.
Nigga, Chris Rhymes and the way he shut them bitches up was just, I don't understand how people say that Drake won the little battle or whatever it was supposed to be, or a little beat. And down, I think Chris T won that shit, but that nigga is very lyrical. And, I mean, we all know Drake don't write his own shit. Sorry, it's been too late. I don't believe shit to come out of his mouth. But the team is factual. And then they got some sweet ass humans. I gotta get some of them bitches. But those are my thoughts on the Pusha T and Drake shit. And I didn't even listen to the Drake shit like that. Like, it was seldom few songs that caught my attention. Like, and that R&B shit was trash. I wouldn't listen to it. Not even when I'm riding the bus, nigga. It was trash. Like, I think I skipped it. I never made it through not one song.
I mean, and that's where my energy was. It wasn't a great album. Everybody, oh man, it's a classic. I'm like, y'all be so quick to call shit a classic. How, if Billboard charts ain't saying the shit was classic, if Rolling Stones ain't saying it was classic, what the fuck is y'all talking about? You can't call everything a classic. That's just ignorant. You know, bad for music, bad for hip hop, you know, bad for, you know, anything that requires any level of, like, measuring the work of something. But I don't know. That's just me. I don't rush to talk about, you know, something being a classic. Kendrick Lamar's Damn was a classic. Royce the 5'9"'s Book of Ryan, classic. You know, Marshall Mathers LP, classic. You know, All Eyes on Me, classic. That's what we talk about, classic. You know, not too many albums that drop 9 days that's a classic. Drake is still searching for that classic. He ain't had one yet. Y'all know I'm not a Jay-Z fan, but I'll say, hey, Reasonable Doubt, classic. You don't get that a lot. Big L's The Big Picture, classic. So, I don't know. People's standards as far as, you know, hip-hop is not the same. It's not what it used to be. I mean, people talk about Lil Uzi Vert being a fucking hot hip-hop artist that he dropped classic. I swear to God, the next motherfucker that walk up to me and say that a mumble rapper is dope, I'm gonna slap the taste out of their mouth. Okay? Look, man, tomorrow is my motherfucking birthday. I'll be 32 years old, and I'm feeling every bit of it. I'm actually sitting up here sipping tea. That's how old I'm getting. I have my first drink yet. I'm up in this bitch sipping tea. So, fuck it. You know what? And if y'all judge me, fuck y'all in advance. Okay? I can afford to do this. You know why? Because I ain't trying to die too soon. Got kids to raise.
Right. Fuck the bullshit, damn.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Space, you got another subject you want to kick out there before you wrap up now?
Man. Yeah, dog. Like, I really want y'all to open your minds up to just reading anything. Because I recently, like, I started it a long time ago, and then I just picked fucking stop. Like, just stop. And I felt myself. And, you know, it helps to have a little voice in your ear every now and then to tell you you're fucking up. But just pick up something and read it. I don't give a fuck what it is. Start with the fucking funniest. Or whatever is just interesting to you, read the shit. But I've been reading a lot lately, and that shit has opened up my motherfucking brain. So I just encourage everybody to pick up the book.
So, reading is very important. It's all about what you read, it's all about what you take in. You know, I'm that guy that read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the Jobs book. I also read 48 Laws of Power. I gotta read the 50th Law of Power. You know, but things like that, things that can give you, you know, something to challenge yourself, to stabilize you, and get you prepared for how the world really works. I mean, the art of war, reading that and understanding that. You know, reading things that can sharpen your mind and prepare you for the next level. So that's my recommendation when it comes to reading things. Try to find things that's going to definitely provide edification. You know, you want to make sure that you gain something from it, something that you can practice in real life, you know. But I speak on more of that stuff at these seminars that we're going to start kicking off, where is we, you know, try to help people start businesses, understand business and how business works, and, you know, personal growth and strategize and things like that. That's the next step, you know. A lot of stuff that, you know, I'm doing now is geared towards, you know, getting people prepared for success. You can't get prepared for success if you ain't got a success mindset. So, you know, if you ain't ready to challenge yourself, if you ain't ready to be competitive against those that's around you, you just sit the fuck down and get the fuck out the way, simply put. But that's enough for lyricists from today, man. But, Spades, you want to close us out, sir?
It's been real, people. This has been Lyricist and Spades with Thursday Radio Podcast at 11. We appreciate everybody for tuning in, all our fans, and we definitely want to shout out our fans for still tuning in to our shows, even though we haven't been on air, but we are back and in full effect. This shit is real.
All right, y'all. I'm about to get the fuck out of here, and I'm going to prepare to wake up on the 4th of July, so y'all enjoy y'all holiday. Y'all be safe. I'm going to get back to sipping the tea, and fuck y'all very much.